Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer for a Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023. Glad to have you along on a hump day here, middle of the week. Beautiful day. There it is. The Geico Camel reminded us it is, in fact, hump day. Great time. With Trygve Olson on last hour, appreciate him from the Lincoln Project, and he joins us each and every Wednesday to give us an unique perspective, and appreciate him making time during his trip overseas. Next week, in this time slot, Mr. Zommers, I believe we're going to have one of his cohorts, Stuart Stevens, of the Lincoln Project, and a former Republican operative, keyword former, himself, and himself has run several Republican presidential campaigns, and that's the things I like to do. I like to give a little behind-the-scenes things that I certainly haven't witnessed myself, most people haven't, but if you can understand what happens on the ground, that's, to me, what's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. We obviously love having Trygve Olson here every week, but it is also very cool to hear from his colleagues because, like you said, it's a lot of insight that most of us do not have.
Yeah. And again, we'll have more details as they kind of become available and they gel together. But we're working on something very special here at Civic Media to bring you a pregame show, a special election, or pardon me, presidential debate coverage of the Republican presidential debate to put these things in context for you, and working on a cool location. Near the Deer District, as a matter of fact. That's all I can say right now, but things are in the works. And before we move on to the next topic, I know we held over from last hour. Appreciate her down in the Milwaukee area, probably listening to us on WAUK, the Shaw, down in Waukesha. Karina, appreciate you holding through the break. What did you want to say? Did you want to say something on the last topic, or what was on your mind today? Go ahead.
This is what I'm thinking, and I know maybe I'm a little bit paranoid, but the thing is, this is how it looks to me. We had a January 6th, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, right after that, Republicans put their own people into the government to look for a discovery for a fake electors, for a fake voting. And then after a year in the several states, right? It's not only Wisconsin. Several states had those people who were doing it. And then they were disappeared after earned millions of dollars. My feeling is that the only thing what they were doing is sitting there and making sure that everything what is possible to hide, any communication, any email, any evidence of January 6th, who started, who did this, who said that, all of it is gone. Because this is what they were there for a purpose.
Right.
Not to discover fake electors, but to hide evidence.
And Karina, I think I love the call. I appreciate it. I think, and again, I haven't read every word yet, but I've gone through a lot of the indictment that came out yesterday afternoon from the Department of Justice and Special Prosecutor Jack Smith. It seems as though they're narrowing in on some of these things. And again, some of this is fuzzed up with, you know, numbers instead of names, but it's pretty easy or relatively easy to figure out who they're talking about. And one of the people it seems to be zeroing in on is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and his staff, who are trying to work with these fake electors and then to come back and basically say, you know, no, it didn't happen. And that's why I wish that we would have, right, you know, some prosecution here in Wisconsin of people like Andrew Hitt and Spindell and other people who participated in these fake electors and tried to usurp democracy here in Wisconsin, let alone the United States.
You're absolutely right, because how is it that you're allowing to investigate the same party of the same people?
Mm-hmm.
And who was that man who was in Wisconsin? Is it, oh my God, started with M, not McCarthy. The other man who was looking for evidence.
Oh, Mike Gableman?
Wrong,
Yeah, former Justice Mike Habelman. Of course, $2 million of Wisconsin taxpayer money right down the toilet. I mean, you could have taken $2 million and dumped it in the pig pen at the state fair down in West Allis and got more out of it. You know, at least the pigs would have been happy.
Right, and what he was doing, he didn't find anything. Obviously, the only thing what he was doing, he was hiding everything you possibly can hide.
Right. No, I agree with you.
He had the ability to go and look and do. He had the full clearance all over the government. And I believe he's not the only person who was doing it. And in other states, there were another people who was doing it exactly the same thing. So for a year, they were receiving a huge amount of money. And what they're only doing is covering up for their own Republican Party. Oh, let's investigate Republican Party with the Republican people.
Right.
Okay.
That's like the fox watching the hen house, right, Karina?
Right. It all makes sense. So I really, and about the our Supreme Court, I voted for her. I prayed for her that she's going to win, and she did, and I hope that we're going to give a freedom of a choice to women in Wisconsin. I feel like an animal, literally. And I'm not even in the childbirth age. But
Karina, I appreciate the call. Don't mean to cut you off, Karina, but we got to go to a break here. You were talking about the investiture of justice. Now, Janet Protasiewicz, we carried that here on Civic Media yesterday. Glad that we were able to do so. And thank you, Karina, for your call as well. Don't go anywhere. More after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing so. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's now 15 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. You there at home listening on the app or over the air, wherever you're at. And you don't have the app, you say? You never heard of the Civic Media app? Let me help you out. Because here's the thing. The only day better to download the Civic Media app than today was yesterday. And we can't do anything about that, right? So go to your phone, pick up your device, your Apple or Android device, go to the App Store. On the search bar, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It'll pop up, little CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute to download. It is free. What Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Open that up, and you can take Mr. Zommers and I along with you each and every afternoon, 1 until 3, Monday through Friday, on the Civic Media app and all the fantastic programming throughout Civic Media across the great state of Wisconsin. Also have great listeners, like those up in our brand new station, WCFW, The Tap, up there in Eau Claire, 93.5 FM on your dial. Let's go to Jean in Eau Claire. Jeannie in Eau Claire, what say you, ma'am?
Hi. Great show as usual, sir. You did just an outstanding job, and I just have to, you know, give a shout out to the Lincoln Project. I've been so impressed with that group, and if anybody wants to see some outstanding posts, you know, you can go to YouTube and put in the Lincoln Project and see their outstanding. They're like ads, but they're really not ads. They're truths.
Right.
That are coming up, and they're just amazing. I mean, I think, wow, what great people. Well, anyway, I'm wondering if you have ever heard of, you know, the difficulties that some of the state Republican parties are having. I seen a show on it, you know, and it was some investigative reporting going on, like Minnesota are really, really hurting their party. And then I think Colorado, you know, money, funding and stuff and running out of money. And Arizona and I think Michigan. And I'm wondering what happens when a party can't pay for themselves. There was one of the states might not have a primary because they don't have the funds. And it disturbs me a little bit thinking, okay, now this is supposed to be the alternative party in our country. And if they don't have any money, does dark money take over that, where there's true Republicans left? I find this kind of alarming a little bit. I mean, Republicans right now, the mega Republicans, make my stomach turn. The old Republicans, the Republican Party that you belong to, they were great Americans.
Yeah, even if we didn't disagree, right? I mean, guys like Tommy Thompson, you might not agree with every policy, but very few people are going to disagree that Tommy Thompson didn't and doesn't love the state of Wisconsin, the university system, which he is a graduate of. I mean, we have disagreements over policy, but the fundamental tenets of democracy and the wealth of, or the good of our state, that was pretty much uniform back at one point.
And you think, too, is this dark money, the money that put in Scott Walker, and by the way, our side of the state was supporting Gunderson, and all of a sudden, the Scotty Walker and the people on my side said, well, who in the heck is this guy, you know, Scotty Walker? I mean, so then he comes in with the big Coke dollars and, you know, and Alec and I mean.
Well, I think you raised such a – I love this call, Gene. And by the way, correct me, because you're fantastic. You call in a lot of our shows. Is it Gene or Jeannie? Which do you prefer?
Either one, whatever you feel in the mood to say.
Well, I want to make sure that's right. You know, what do your friends call you?
I'm not going to say.
That was great. All right. So, Gene, here's the deal. I think it's a great point you bring up about this money. I would say a couple of things based on my political experience. One, I think that Democrats, led by people like Ben Wickler, the chair of the current Wisconsin Republican, or pardon me, Democratic Party, Democrats have kind of woken up to, hey, we have to start fighting fire with fire, and they've gotten more aggressive with their fundraising. Also, on the flip side of that, for the Republican side, to your point, I think the Republican platform, which they really don't have one anymore, but what appears to be their platform is no longer palatable to 50% plus one of the electorate. And even within the Republican Party, I think that dairy farmers up by you in Eau Claire, or small business women in La Crosse, or, you know, just retired veterans, I don't think that they buy into the cultural hate and divisiveness of the current iteration of the Republican Party. And therefore, they're much less willing to open up their pocketbooks and write a check for $25, $100, $500. And what you're right, what's filled in is, you know, the Diane Hendricks money from ABC Builders, the Uline money from across the border in Illinois. And it's the biggest joke out there is that people think that their check for $100 actually buys them any sort of access. If you're not writing checks for multiple thousands of dollars, the candidates don't know who the heck you are. And that's the truth of it, because so much dark money has crept in. So I think this is a great point.
Well, thank you very much, and keep up the great work. We appreciate you.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Gene and Eau Claire. Really appreciate that call. That's a smart listener. You understand, somebody who pays attention and kind of has seen into this and raises great questions like that. We appreciate it, Gene and Eau Claire. I want to play this. This was going around last night on social media. It's actually from the January 6th hearings, the bipartisan hearings in Congress, included Republicans at the time, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Really well done hearing. And they questioned under oath people like Matt Flynn.
That is a different person.
I was looking at my notes. Matt Flynn was not under questioning, other than who had the extra shrimp at the holiday party this year. But no, I hope he gets a kick out of that. I'm such a fan of Matt Flynn. By the way, he comes up after our show at 3 o'clock. No, this is General Flynn, who was part of the Trump administration, and he was questioned under oath. And the reason this is pertinent now is because General Flynn came up, not in name, but we believe that he is involved in this indictment of Trump yesterday. Listen to Wade. This is Liz Cheney questioning General Flynn.
General Flynn, do you believe the violence on January 6th was justified?
Can we have a minute?
And now his attorney asks if Liz Cheney if they can have a minute. And they go off of this. It was over the online, and now they're a minute and 36 seconds later. They come back, and here's what they say after they come back.
Congressman Cheney, could you repeat the question, please?
Yes, General Flynn, do you believe the violence on January 6th was justified?
Can I get a clarification? Is that a moral question, or are you asking a legal question?
I'm asking both.
Stop right there, Mr. Dobbins, just for a second. So what Liz Cheney is asking, both morally question or not, and legally, all right? And they're trying to, and Flynn is trying to come up, General Flynn trying to come up with an answer. Go ahead.
I said the Fifth.
Do you believe the violence on January 6th was justified morally?
Take the Fifth.
You believe the violence on January 6th was justified legally?
Fifth.
General Flynn, do you believe in the peaceful transition of power in the United States of America?
The Fifth.
There you have it.
And also, just a note, all the silence you heard was not me failing to hit the play button. Right. That's him like sitting there staring at the screen and his lawyer just looking uncomfortable.
I mean, it's a pretty straightforward question. Do you believe that the violence on January 6th was legally and morally corrupt or uncalled for? He pleads the Fifth. Remember, if you plead the Fifth under oath, that means you don't want to self-incriminate, all right? Because you're entitled to not self-incriminate under the law. Asking if the violence... I mean, you can't even denounce violence. The peaceful transition of power. He takes the Fifth. This is the sort of thing that is in this indictment from yesterday against Donald Trump. As Trigvi Olsen said earlier, to me, this is the most disturbing of all the charges or indictments up to now. Because it gets to the fundamental tenets of democracy. And it is laying out the groundwork to prove that not only did Donald Trump know he lost the election, he was told by multiple people around him he lost the election. And he blatantly, and with disregard to the peaceful transition of power, tried to create chaos and violence and a military coup. There's no other way to say it. He tried to use the military to put forth under the Insurrection Act, to use the military to take control of the country even though he had lost. These are just some of the things that are in this indictment. It is some of the most damning and disturbing allegations against anyone, let alone, at the time, a sitting president of the United States. And to have someone who is a military general like General Flynn, who was in the Trump administration, and it appears that he was working to intentionally usurp democracy. He simply asked, do you believe in the peaceful transition of power? He pleads the Fifth. Who does that? Pleading the Fifth on believing about in the peaceful transition of power.
That's like... Do you think that killing people is wrong? I can't share my opinion on that because it might incriminate me.
Pretty much, right? Yeah. These were not complicated questions. Very basic questions. We're going to continue to cover this, of course, over the course of the next few days and weeks ahead and months ahead. Always glad to have you along with us. We're going to flip the page when we come back here. Invite a wonderful guy in to join us. His name is Doug Moe. For those of you listening on WMDX here in the Madison area, even on WRCE out in Southwest Wisconsin and Richland Center, you've heard of Doug Moe. You've read him in various newspapers, in Madison Magazine, probably even seen him on TV a time or two. and on the radio. We are honored to be joined by him on the other side. We're going to talk a little bit about how he got into writing, what things he enjoys writing about, some of the cool and interesting stories. Everything from helping Tommy Thompson write a book to a recent story, and our friend Luke Mathers will love this, about pigs in Madison. Madison is against the pigs. We'll talk about it on the other side. Much more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 1:33 across the state of Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. Dial up a little wonder for our next guest because his writings, his career have taken him all over. He has seen wonderful things, interviewed fascinating people, and written fantastic stories. Been a fan for a long time. He is Doug Moe. He is here in Madison, Wisconsin. I love your title, Doug, on your own Twitter page. I'm still calling it Twitter, by the way. Writer at Large. I think that's fantastic. Doug Moe joins us this half hour. Welcome, sir, and thanks for taking the time.
Good to talk to you, Todd. Thanks.
It's always a pleasure. And I particularly appreciate because Todd screwed up a little bit here when we were supposed to have you on a month or so ago, and it was totally my fault. So I appreciate you coming back despite the fact that I messed up.
Well, I've never, ever messed up, Todd.
Well, thank you for being so gracious. I've known you for a while. As I said, a fan of yours for a while. You've written in newspapers. You're at Madison Magazine. You've written books. I want to start, like we do with a lot of our guests, in your genre. Where did you grow up, for those that don't know? And what is it that kind of propelled you, or what was that turning point that said, you know, I want to try this writing thing for life?
Well, complete failure at math and science, I think, was probably the. But I grew up here. I grew up in Madison, and you know, I worked on the student paper as a kid, and then at UW, I worked on both the Badger Herald and Daily Cardinal, not simultaneously, but and I really liked it. You know, I loved writing. I used to read the Chicago newspapers in the old Rennebaum's coffee shops on campus. And, you know, they had columnists like, you know, the great Mike Royko and others that I just, you know, I wanted to try to be able to write the things that made me laugh, you know, and make other people laugh or think or whatever. So that was the impetus.
One of the things I love, I mean, I'm someone who loves good writing. I don't care whether it's in a magazine, a newspaper, a movie, a TV show, or music. Anything that's written well, I just admire, because I think that's an art that goes underappreciated. I find your writing to be very conversational. In other words, I can sit down and read it, and I feel like somebody's having coffee with me and just telling me a story. Is that something you do intentionally, or is that something you had to kind of practice to get where you're at today?
I think it came fairly natural to me. It's the sort of writing that I like to read. You know, I'm certainly not an academic or a deep thinker or anything like that. There's various, you know, people talk about cures for writer's block and what can you do? And, you know, one of the most well-known ones is, you know, if you've researched a subject, just think about, okay, now I'm gonna write a letter to a good friend of mine and tell him this story. Mm-hmm. You know, famously Tom Wolfe, who wrote The Right Stuff and a bunch of other great journalism in the way back when, in the 60s and 70s, he did have writer's block after going out to Las Vegas for a car show, and it totally flummoxed him. And he sat down and his editor's name was Brian Doble, I believe. And he sat down and wrote Dear Byron. And he then spent the next 5,000 words telling Byron what he had seen at the car show. And Esquire magazine took off the Dear Byron and just ran it 5,000 words.
Wow.
You know, he was just telling the story of what he'd seen. And so, you know, it's conversational maybe, but yeah, it's storytelling, you know.
You've, as I said, worked at a number of different mediums in terms of magazines or newspapers and genres and books. What do you find personally the most enjoyable to sit down and write?
Boy, that's an interesting one. And I just don't think it matters on the genre so much, Todd, as the subject is, you know, engaging. Because as you say, these days I'm writing almost weekly blog for a column, you know, for Madison Magazine Online. And I do longer magazine pieces for On Wisconsin, the alumni magazine, and some for Madison Mags. And, you know, I'm always working on two or three different books. Hopefully it's engaging material. That's what makes a difference, not the genre.
In your great career, is there someone thus far, a couple, three people, maybe I won't name it just one, but when you think back, when you sit down and have a cup of coffee or somebody asks you, well, who is your favorite person to interview? Maybe not the favorite person, but who is the person you came away with and you're like, man, that was really neat. I didn't know that about that person until I sat down and talked with them.
Yeah, I guess a couple of answers to that. For the actually interviewing people, you know, I got to say, the ones that are, you know, really famous stick with me. You know, I spent a couple of days with Chris Farley out in New York for a magazine article. Mm-hmm. Joseph Stalin's daughter, Lana Peters, I had a rare interview with her. She lived up in Richland Center. Talked to Bob Woodward a few years ago when I was writing a profile of David Marinus, because Woodward and Marinus are great friends.
Wow.
So that was a kick. But sometimes the stories that resonate or that stick with me are kind of more ordinary people who do extraordinary things, you know? Mm-hmm. And of course, I can't summon one right off the top of my head, but I always love those, especially when I was writing all those newspaper columns, you know, somebody who maybe is only going to get their name in the paper, you know, this one time, but they had done something extraordinary to warrant an interview.
And those are the kind of things that I find fascinating to read, because there are heroes, there are creators, there are innovators all around us. In almost every city and sometimes in every neighborhood, but their stories oftentimes don't get told, and it's people like you who tell them, and I think it makes us in an age when we're so individualized and have our nose and eyes in an electronic device, to have a story that nudges us out of that and say, well, by gosh, there's somebody right down the street, they're pretty darn interesting.
I couldn't agree more, and it points to the decline of the feature pages in newspapers, or even the feature segments on television newscasts are they just don't have the staff anymore. So, that kind of community sense that you get from that kind of story that isn't sharply political, that kind of bonds us all together, not to get soupy about, you know, about it, but they're not, you don't see them very much anymore. And as a consequence, everyone's in their own silo and mad all the time. So,
what do you, I mean, and to that point, Doug, because we're talking with Doug Moe, he most recently is writing for Madison Magazine, both online and in print, and for the Wisconsin Alumni Association as well.
I do magazine pieces for a magazine called On Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Alumni Association.
So, and to this point of newspapers and the change, I mean, some people say, okay, well, newspapers are dying, and maybe that's true to a point, but I just think that people are consuming information differently. But you've talked to so many people, Doug, in your travels and in your writings. What's your personal take on our society, I don't want to say society is too broad, but in our communities, Because it seems, you know, I'm 53. I grew up in Richland Center, incidentally, out there. And it seems like little by little, we're losing touch with each other. And it seems like the less we know about each other, it drives these political divides. Am I completely wrong, or what's your thought?
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, it just manifests itself in so many different ways. I just wrapped up writing, co-authoring with Fred Risser his autobiography.
Really?
Don't have a publisher yet, but yeah. And, you know, he talks about how they used to actually debate bills, you know, in the legislature. Mm-hmm. You know this, Todd. You know how and now it's always a done deal. You know, they hardly have any floor discussion because it's all decided behind the door. That's just one example of what you're saying, and it's not healthy. And I'm not sure the way out of it, to be honest with you.
This is the first I heard about this, and it brings great joy to me because, for those who don't know, former state senator Fred Risser, the longtime state senator for essentially the middle part of Madison, the Isthmus of Madison, and became, my old boss, Dale Schultz, was the majority leader back in 2006-ish or 5-ish or so. He became, Senator Risser became the longest serving state legislator in America. And just a thoughtful, cool guy. And I mean, he, up until, maybe he's still doing it, he rides the same number of miles as his age. And last time, what is Senator Risser now? Early 90s?
No, he turned 96 in May.
Oh my gosh!
And he
he's incredible.
He did stop, Todd, at 90. He stopped
riding the number of miles.
He did 89. You know, 89 miles in a day.
Doug, I couldn't do 89 miles. No way. But, I mean, this is the kind of guy that State Senator Risser is. I'm so glad to hear that someone has sat down and written this out, and we can keep this to some degree in the form of the written word, because the stories and his knowledge and his perspective, we just don't have people on either side of the aisle very often with this kind of perspective.
Well, right, and as I say, we'll see. I'm confident we'll find a publisher. I'm not worried about it, but it's not going to be out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he kept detailed notes on when they escaped to Illinois back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
You know, contemporaneous notes. So I think our chapter on that is as detailed and as is going to be the best account of those extraordinary 3 weeks. I was pleased to do it.
Can't wait to read more about that once you find a publisher. And it's out. We're talking to Doug Moe from Madison Magazine, and as he likes to say, writer at large, longtime writer here in the Madison area. Taking a break here in a couple of minutes, Doug, but I want to get into this before the break a little bit. One of the books that you helped write and I've read, and I just found fascinating, was a book simply called Tommy, My Journey as of a Lifetime. By Tommy G. Thompson, former governor, of course, but also you. And it wasn't more of a joint project. I've never really heard how you guys sat down and wrote this, whether he kind of just told you the story and you wrote it, whether it was a writing together. What was the process that went into to help Tommy Thompson write this book?
Well, you know, somebody once said getting two people together to write a book is like getting three people together to make a baby.
I love that.
we actually had it worked well for us, as it did for me with Senator Risser, and I also just finished one with Mike Leckrone, the longtime legendary band director. So, and that one does have a publisher, UW Press.
That's great.
Next year.
That's great.
But yeah, it how it's worked on all those, Todd, is I do extensive interviews with them. Do extensive archival research. You know, Senator Risser had an incredible amount of letters that he had written home as a Navy person. And, you know, so you find all that stuff that you can. And then you also do some interviews with friends and colleagues. But the books are in their voice. I do get co-author credit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little step up from the ghostwriting days. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I write in their voice, and they get final approval. You know, I mean, I've got a deal where if they make all kinds of changes and I don't want my name on it, I can take my name off. But
sure.
So far that hasn't happened. They've been good collaborations, and they're I think, you know, important stories that I'm glad to have helped preserve.
Doug Moe is his name. He is a writer at large. We'll come back and talk more with him on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Also, I understand we're also on our own YouTube channel now. So that's exciting. You can check us out there, Facebook or Twitter as well. I'm still calling it Twitter, by the way. I refuse to call it X. Coming up at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, it is Matt Flynn Direct on the other side of network news and weather. You do not want to miss it. Matt Flynn Direct every afternoon, 3 until 4. A great program ahead. 4 until 6 then, the Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom. At 6 o'clock is the Maggie Dawn Show. At 8 o'clock, Rick Smith Across America. And at 10 o'clock, our friend Robert Pilot with another tape-delayed edition of Native Roots Radio. Right now, we are honored to be joined by our guest this half hour. Doug Moe is his name. You can find his work at Doug Moe, that's DougMoe.org, where you can order these books and find more of his work, and also at Madison Magazine. A native Madisonian, Doug, I think this is what we were talking about before the break. You've worked on books now with Fred Risser, a former state senator and longtime Senate president, with Tommy Thompson as well, and now you tell us with Mike LaCrone. I think the reason these work, and again, it goes back to your reason I've admired your writing, is because you're from here. You get there are certain intangibles that no matter, you can have the best writer in the world, not that you aren't, but you can have any other writer in the world come in who's equally as good at writing, and the material wouldn't be as good because you don't have that innate knowledge of having lived here and seen how they've affected the community and the state, no?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you know, it wasn't really a conscious decision on my part, but, you know, when I look back on things, you know, maybe I could have gone and tried to go to Chicago or New York and, you know, had a career where my books were, you know, published by Random House instead of the University of Wisconsin Press. But gosh, I think, you know, having stayed here, as you say, it does give a pretty deep well of knowledge to draw on. And not to get sad about anything, but I'm reminded of our earlier chatting about newspapers and how, you know, when a veteran newspaper man or woman, you know, is dismissed, as happens increasingly these days, if there are any still left. It's like what somebody said, watching them walk out of the newsroom is like watching a library burn down.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, yeah, I think that's to your point.
I think also, and the first person that named or came to my mind, she has now since left us, unfortunately, but the late, great Pat Sims was someone who I just loved reading. When she had the Snoop column, I mean, the entire Wisconsin State Journal, everybody at the state capitol, as soon as they got their paper copy, they didn't care what else was in the paper. They'd immediately go to Pat Sims' Snoop column because she was in touch, and it was great writing. It was fun. It was informational. I loved Pat Sims to death. She was a great author and a great writer and a great person.
Yeah. And they bold-faced the names, right?
Right, exactly.
So, and that's, you know, names make news, all that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
When you helped, sat down and helped write this book, Tommy, with former Governor Tommy Thompson, as you were writing it together, what did you come away with perhaps learning or knowing that you didn't know going in?
Well, we were, I think you would say, friendly acquaintances before we decided to collaborate. So I didn't know him super well. You know, I really came to admire him a lot. you know, I, cause as you know, when I spoke about interviewing people around the actual person that it is the subject of the book, he inspired me real loyalty among friends and colleagues. He could be tough, but gosh, you know, he'd show up at their weddings unexpectedly or do this or that. I learned that he's actually, you know, he basically cries at Walmart opening. You know, if you mention the state of Wisconsin or his family, you know, he starts to tear up.
Yeah,
which it was kind of funny.
That's great. That is genuine.
No, I don't think this is probably always the case with authors, co-authors and their subject, but I've been lucky and you know, hit it off really well with all of mine so far.
About 3.5 minutes left, Doug, in this segment before we have to let you go for the day. Mike LaCrone, I was in band. I was the drum major back in Richland Center my senior year in high school. Our drum teacher was the first woman to march for Mike at UW, Lauren Jensen. Loved his concert. Went to his last spring concert. And this has stuck with me. He said, I tell my kids that life isn't always going to be great, but you have to hang on to those moments of happiness. And I just love that. And is that the attitude that he brings into his everyday life as well?
Oh, it is. And the title, working title of the book is Mike LaCrone, : Music, Memories, and Moments of Happiness.
There you go.
Yeah, he definitely brings that, talks about it a lot, about how, you know, there's life doesn't work that every moment is a happy one. So we actually start the book with the band outside the Rose Bowl, getting ready to go in for that first Rose Bowl, you know, in the modern era in 93. And he tells the band then, you know, cherish this, remember it, put it in the memory bank. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's very much a motto that he lives by.
Back that year, I was a student at UW-Platteville. We had a great dean of our communication college down there. You might have heard of him, Katana Yassari. And he was a great guy, and we loved him to death as our dean. I believe he may be married to one of his daughters. And but Mike LaCrone came all the way down to Platteville to be on our little goofy college TV show on cable. And he was an energetic and entertaining as he would be for you or any other legit media person. And I've never forgotten that, because he's the most genuine person or one of that I've ever met.
Yeah, I agree. And he did a one-man show, Todd, I don't know if you caught it, at Overture last fall.
I was so sick that it just didn't work out. I wasn't able to go, but I heard it was spectacular.
Yeah, you know, and that's Mike being Mike. You know, he told band stories, he sang a little,
right?
And he had a great three-piece, a trio helping him, you know, play music. So, yeah, that's another one I'm proud of. Happy to be able to help tell that story.
Well, I can't. Any idea when it comes out?
Late summer, early fall next year.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic! I really cannot wait to read that. I will be in line, Doug Moe. Really appreciate you, sir. Thank you for all that you have done and continue to do to tell the stories of fascinating Madisonians and Wisconsinites. You can find his work at DougMoe.org. That's DougMoe.org, and check him out in Madison Magazine. Doug, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure. That is Doug Moe. We'll be back tomorrow. Actually, we'll have a rerun tomorrow and Friday. Todd's taking a couple of days off. Mr. Zommers will be here, though, playing those reruns for you. Mr. Zommers and also Trigby Olson and Pat Kreitlow, Doug Moe, we thank them all for being our guests. Remember, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned now for Matt Flynn Direct. Keep banging your drum.